Hi there, everybody. This is Armand Demel with you with The Positive Mind here on WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial, bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. In the studio with me today, Ben Starr, Julian Joiello, as we continue along our research to find out what makes people tick. See, here's what I figure. I figure the best positive mind is a person who could understand how people are. The more you understand, the easier it is to not be judging them and not be critical of them, understanding why is a person the way they are. The biggest conundrum is around relationships. How do people ever get together in the first place? How do they do it? How do they go from being me over here and you over there, and how do I get together with you, and how do we make that work? Well, we were taking a fresh look at it the other day in one of the men's groups, and we were exploring different ways that men feel about mates that they choose, whether it be a man or a woman. And we kind of broke it down to two categories. We talked about people who are medicated and people who are stimulated. Now, a medication type of person is a person who feels at ease, medicated, relaxed. It kind of goes along with food and sleep and relaxing and drugs and taking it easy. That's a medicated kind of feeling of safety. So many of you, if you think about yourself, you're going to think of yourself as either being that kind of person or a stimulating person. Stimulators are different. Stimulators are very active. They're very energetic. They think a lot. They have curiosity, and they live on adversity. They don't necessarily want everything to be calm. So if you're a medicated type, you want everything to be calmed down. If you're a stimulated type, you want stuff to be active. Now, what we found, or what the men reported when talking about this, is that they find that they are attracted to the other side. So if you're a medicated side, you're attracted to a stimulated side. And if you're a stimulated side person kind of person, you're looking for a medicated kind of person. That means if you're a low-energy person, you're looking for a high-energy person. If you're a high-energy person, you're looking for a low-energy person. You're kind of trying to find a balance on this, which we call the medication stimulation Richter. Because it isn't 100%. You can't be 100% medication type because you'd be asleep. You'd be a bear all the time in a cave. You've got to have some major part of you is one way or another. Which do you think you are, as I ask you in the audience? What do you think you are? Do you think you're more of a medicated type? Medicated meaning, you know, relaxed, easy, sleepy, or a stimulated type? Active, vibrant. Now, if you think about it, you're going to find that you search out the opposite side of you. You search for. So maybe you often wonder to yourself, why am I attracted to that kind of person? For example, you're a woman and you're attracted to guys who are bad boys. Just, you know, you can just tell these are guys who look like they're trouble right from the beginning. What do you want from them? Well, probably you're somebody who has a low energy, and you're looking for something that's going to stimulate your energy. Conflict, battle, fights, arguments, that kind of stuff will stimulate you. You're a man who feels like he's married for a long period of time, and he's kind of felt all the energy go out of his body. And so he looks to have an affair with somebody who's very stimulating and exciting and young and beautiful. Or you're a woman who's been married for a long period of time and you find yourself attracted to some younger person who is very filled with energy and so stuff like that. So it's almost like the commodity is not love, not sex, but energy itself. It's like, can you get some energy for me? Yeah, would you like some energy? Remember that recent movie about time, where time became the commodity?
Right, it became a currency that people wore on their watch.
Right, yeah. Right. So what if energy is the currency itself of relationships? I want to feel both stimulated and at peace with you. However, if when I was growing up, I never felt relaxed, I never felt safe, then I am going to be looking to feel that safety with you. Usually the type of person who wants that is a stimulated type. Stimulated people generally will be looking for somebody who's going to help them feel completely relaxed, completely at peace. Stimulated types. In stimulate types, you have high sex levels, you have curiosity, you have adversity. Why would you choose somebody who disagrees with you?
Well, I have a friend who's a perfect example of this. The girl he's with has a different hair color every week. She's got tattoos. She's always looking at everybody saying, screw you, and kind of just that's how she is. And he's the nicest guy I know, like the nicest guy.
So he's the peace guy, but he knows somewhere beneath his niceness is a deadness that's kind of waiting for him.
Right.
And he feels this abyss that he's in.
Is there a fear of that?
Yes. Yes, you feel that slide. You feel yourself into this dark place. So what you do is you turn around and you look for somebody who's going to pick you out of it. So you pick somebody who's going to stimulate you.
She makes him feel alive.
Yeah. She makes him feel alive. Let me think about that, Ben. She doesn't make him feel alive, but with her, he steps out of that abyss. He steps out of that slide into depression. If you've ever been anybody who's broken up a relationship, you know for a period of time after the relationship is over, you could feel that there's a slide to a kind of depression. There's a spot.
Oh, absolutely.
That you could kind of sink into. And you feel yourself sliding there, and you're going there, and you're going there, and you're going there. And then somebody comes along, and you meet them, and boom, you pop right out of it. So it's like there's a potential slide for many people into a kind of depression. For other people, the stimulant types, there's a potential slide into being over-energized, like Robin Williams, right? So stimulated, so over the top, that you look for anything that's going to bring you down. You look for anything like Michael Jackson. You know, give me those drugs that are going to take me all the way back to make me feel safe, to make me feel at home. So sometimes when you're overly creative or overly stimulated, you look for something to bring you back. And sometimes you choose that in a mate. What happens when two stimulated types get together? It sounds exciting. What a nice time. You know, I'm excited. You're excited. The two of us are excited.
Right,
we have
when
a
they
party.
Just explode.
Right, we just have a good time. Right? You have a great time. You have a great time. We get married. Okay, now we're married and we have a kid. Well, you know, we can't be as stimulating as we used to be because now we have a kid we have to take care of, so we have to adapt and we have to stay at home. Now we stay at home, and now suddenly the stimulation starts leaving. Now the stimulation gets focused on the baby, on the child becomes the source of energy. When the child becomes the source of energy rather than the other partner, both partners tend to fall asleep. They both tend to slide into the background. Now you're a parent. And as a mother, it's okay, because this is a decent role. But as a father, this is not a decent role. You feel every part of you genetically that's been put in there to tell you, you know, keep being the hunter, keep being the fighter, keep being out there. You feel it kind of moving away. And what happens so frequently to dads is that they actually get they get tired and they look for stimulation. Our telephone number here is 212-957-2729. 212-957-2729. This is Armand DeMille with Julian Joiello and Ben Starr. We're talking about the difference between energetic types. And among the energetic types, what we see... Among the energetic types, what we see is we see highly energized people and we see people who are very lowly energized. And those people tend to be the ones who feel the safest and the quietest. So, what we want to do is hear from you as well and hear from you. But what do you think, Ben, as we've gone over this?
Well, I have a question. What do you think about, as far as a couple of two people who are highly stimulated types, What would you think about the classic sort of American example of Bonnie and Clyde? They were two people who, you know, they loved each other. They got together. They drove across the country robbing banks. They had this extremely stimulating sort of existence on the extreme spectrum of life and experience.
Well, you know, if you think about it, first of all, they were together a very short period of time.
Right.
So they didn't get a chance to really play that one out. However, it did seem like he was the higher stimulus, you know, and she was kind of being brought into the life of stimulation. I don't think she was a stimulus, whereas when I think of other programs, I was thinking about Natural Born Killers.
Okay.
Right, where the woman in that one is a natural, automatic stimulus. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
So I'm not sure she was, but what happens when two energetic young couple get together and they're very stimulating to each other? What happens? What happens?
Is it something you're saying that is a sort of a short-term thing that has to fizzle out eventually?
Doesn't. Well, let's think about that. Esther Perel, who is the person who wrote the book on sexual awareness and keeping sex alive. She's been on our program a few times. She said the problem with most sex in relationships is that it dies because there is not enough newness. She said it is essential that what a man has to do or a woman has to do is bring variance and newness into the relationship, that without it, the relationship goes flaccid. You should pardon the expression.
Does she mean newness into the sexual relationship or just the relationship
into the relationship in general? In other words, she's saying, yes, into the sexual relationship, but she's saying, look, take your wife and go to a hotel. Don't just stay in the same bed. Do something different. Get something different. Make it different. Do it. Do variations, because we need the stimulation to keep the arousal going. Because think about it, what happens when sex dies in a relationship, which it does with most couples, over time? When there's not sex, what do you have? You have a nice, friendly, wonderful relationship. But the lifeblood, very often, is a flirtation on the outside or a relationship on the outside. That's the lifeblood itself. And sometimes I would even say that a couple could have a perfectly beautiful relationship and that it's the outside activity that helps maintain the staying together, because without it, they would probably break up. I know we're going to get letters on this one. But, you know, without it, without the person having the person on the outside, they may give up on the relationship itself. But I know of perfectly solid, beautiful relationships that are asexual, but the other one of the partners is always finding the stimulation somewhere else. 212-957-2729. We have Alan on the line. Alan, hi. This is Armand DeMille. Welcome.
Hi, Armand. I can't believe that you're talking about what you're talking about. I'll get straight to the point. I used to be vibrant, but I was diagnosed with Parkinson's a few years ago, and I a few weeks ago you mentioned that you had a son. So you know what it is to be a father. About 3 years ago, my daughter, who was 15 at the time, was having an argument with my wife's nephew, and she walked into the bedroom as they were arguing, and she didn't know what they were arguing about, but my daughter called her nephew, who was also 15 at the time, a faggot. And this is the way kids fight. Make a long story short, my wife told my daughter to get out of this house. And that day I was going to the doctor to get a test to see if I had Parkinson's, and everything was snowballing, and my daughter steamed out of the house, and it's been killing me ever since, because I let her get away with it. I let my wife kick my daughter out of the house. Now, it's not her child. I had my child, Adina, with another woman, but I feel like a totally destroyed person. I used to be vibrant, but now I'm totally like a dead person.
Yeah. So you deadened yourself because there are feelings of powerlessness you have and rage, I'm sure, right, Alan?
Absolutely.
Tell me about the rage.
She you happened to have mentioned that your son is mulatto. My wife that I'm with now is from Trinidad, and whenever we had an argument, she always brings up, "You wouldn't treat me like this if I were black." I married her, and whenever we got invited to my brother's
house.
Okay,
wait a minute, Alan. We got to change this for one place, because what I want to do is really help you with this. Yes. And this is not about she. This is about Alan. This is about what happened to you in the middle of this battle where you lost your way, where you lost your own direction. And right now you sound to me like a man who lost himself, who can't find himself, regardless of what she does. It sounds like something has beaten the will out of you, and they didn't do it. But it touched something that made you so powerless. Now, the Parkinson's, is it active or not active?
Right now I'm shaking like a leaf. I want to talk, but I'm so freaking lost. And I'm so hurt because I love my daughter so much.
Okay, now hold it a second. I want you to be able to find your heart. And it's not just about your daughter. It's about you finding you at this point. And I hear it. Alan, I hear it. And I want to help you do that. I want to help you do it. We're not going to do it by just examining your relationship. When you go through Parkinson's, specifically Parkinson's and a couple of other ailments that I know of, you very often detach from the very power source of your soul. And I've seen it. I've seen it often enough. And I want you to reconnect it somehow. And I know people who could help you do that. And I would love you to call me, because it's not going to be done here on the radio on WBAI. It's much deeper than that, because you're an intensely beautiful man with a lot to give who has lost the connection to his power.
Where do I go from here?
Send me an email. Send me an email. We got to get on this one. Send me an email.
I can't use the computer. Could I call?
Sure, call me.
At your office?
Call my office, and I will call you back and speak to you.
Okay, Armin.
Okay, because this is important. It's vital not only for you, but for your family as well. But this is something that happens, and I've seen it happen so often. And all I want you to know is I got my arms around you. I'm hugging you, and I'm saying to you, Jesus, brother, let's take care of this.
Okay, because I know how I feel, because you're a father yourself. And
but that's not the only reason I know how you feel.
Okay, Armand.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Sometimes it's real easy to give people a short answer. But when you look at this unique combination of things, like especially what Alan is going through between both the disease plus the situation plus all of that, it's not going to be anything I could touch on a phone that would be worthwhile. Our telephone number is 212-957-2729. Peter Hogan used to talk about different types of relationships, and one of the relationships he talked about was the cooperative-competitive relationship. A cooperative-competitive relationship is where people cooperate with each other in a relationship and they compete at the same time. So, like, they're kind of competing with each other. Have you ever been in a relationship where you feel like you're competing with your partner?
I have.
It's a unique thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
What's it like? Tell me.
Well, I mean, I think that in the sort of framework of our discussion, that the competitive relationship is more of a stimulus-stimulus relationship.
Exactly.
Because both people are sort of driven and pushing each other to go further.
Mm-hmm.
So there's not this sort of resting back on your laurels that happens. But when I had that sort of relationship was when I had a relationship with someone that I worked with. And we worked in the same workplace. And so, I mean, it was very playful competition, but we both wanted to do better than the other. And we joked about it, and it was after the shift, we would, you know, talk about how'd you do, and that was the competition.
Okay, now, in that competition, as you were keeping that relationship going, that went for a while. Do you remember specifically, Ben, how did the energy get lost out of that?
Well, it happened when she stopped working there, and we were still together at that point, but she was no longer in the job, so that competitive energy wasn't there the way it was when we worked at the same job and many times on the same shift.
when it crossed over from work and competition at work to home, was there any competition at home? Was there any competition in the romance?
I don't remember competition on a personal level, but we, like I said, we had the same job and we often worked the same night, afternoon, evening shift. So there was a very direct competition that happened there.
Couples very often compete with each other. You know, a couple, you know, two men, two women, a man and a woman, they compete with each other, and it's the competition that keeps the stimulation going. 212-957-2729. Mike, you're on the line. This is Armand DeMille. Hi.
How you doing, Armand?
Good.
How's everything? I'm calling you to say hi to your echo. Hello?
Yes, yes. I think you're on a speakerphone, are you not?
I took myself off speaker.
That's perfect. Thank you.
All right, cool. So I'm calling because I'm kind of in a predicament that I'm in a very loving relationship, and my wife and I are absolutely in love with each other. Now, we don't have any issue with that specifically, but I feel that anything I've got in a relationship, my life and my perspective on myself has been really in a downward spiral. You know, I'm more depressed now. And it began when we first met each other. I had a business with my ex-girlfriend, and because of that, I stopped my business. Now, we got pregnant 3 months into our relationship, and ever since then, you know, there has been a lack of, you know, making love or sex, and that's been, you know, demoralizing, not having that physicality with my wife, even though we're so in love with each other. We don't have any issues.
Well, it's a good, there's a good question for you, Mike. So, being so in love with each other, could you mind being just a little detailed for me?
Okay.
What doesn't happen sexually? Does she say, I don't want to have sex, or do you find yourself unable to get stimulated? What happens?
Well, ever since she got pregnant, she just kind of lost her libido. You know, she just didn't want to have sex or make love, and, you know, it's just been difficult for me because I wouldn't cheat on her.
No, okay, but lose your libido means there's a part of you that doesn't desire to have sex, but so often couples who are with each other, when they feel a drop in this, they say, yes, but I will be here for you sexually. And you're saying to me, no, 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 she doesn't even want that. She doesn't want to bring me, she doesn't want to be there for me sexually. She's just, it's lost. So therefore, it's lost between the two of us. That's unusual, because people who love each other as deeply as you're saying always want to cooperate to make the other person happier.
And she makes me happy in many other ways. You know, she's always there for me. She's my shoulder. She's my best friend. We go a lot of places together. We spend lots of time together.
So you're very safe with each other.
100%. I don't feel uncomfortable in my relationship.
But you're missing the stimulation.
Yeah.
And this ends.
She said now that she's not pregnant, you know, because we had the baby. I don't really know.
Yeah, well, it sounds to me like there's an issue underneath it that doesn't mean lost libido. Okay, lost libido kind of, you imagine you have a libido, and then when you're not looking, you drop it on the floor, and then you can't find it, and then, you know, you go through life saying, oh, I lost my libido. It doesn't work that way exactly. What happens is things get in the way emotionally. Something happened around the childbirth, around what took place after that, that isn't being said, and it's probably some kind of unrecognized, unfelt anger that you would probably not even notice. But I know every time I've seen couples like this, we'll give you an example. Yeah. I see a couple who has this kind of exchange with each other where they have no sexual feeling towards each other. And I used to, in therapy, I don't do this anymore, I used to bring them in a room and I would give them two pillows. And I'd force them to have a pillow fight. I'd say, have a pillow fight, but you're not allowed to use any words. And the man would use only his left hand, and the woman would use both hands just to equalize the power. And they would haul off and hit each other with these pillows over and over again. Now, you sound like I'm kind of encouraging violence, but something would happen. When they were finished, they felt turned on sexually. It was the cure for their sexual relationship. It was the funniest thing. What makes that happen? Is it necessary to reconnect with the aggression that you have? Is it the violence? Who knows what it was, but it worked. I would recommend to you that if you see yourself sliding into a depression, it's probably because you have a lot of anger about this situation, but you don't feel justified to express it because you have so much love. And I would say, well, probably you're going to tell me the same thing took place when you were a kid. Were you close to your mom?
For the most part, yes.
Yeah, that's what I would imagine. Were you alienated from your father somewhat?
Well, he worked a lot.
Yes, that's okay. So this is the scenario I'm talking about. Alienated from your father, close to your mom. There's a lot of stuff that you got to feel in there that doesn't feel too comfortable. And I would think that you have unmet kind of angers that are inside you that are manifesting and servicing both of you by having you stay apart sexually. And my recommendation is to go to a sex therapist, a good one, like Stephanie Dombra, you know, or one of those people, and just say, let's talk this over. Not to cure it, but to at least talk it over. Because I think it would make a big difference. And I think it's important for you because what I'm hearing in you is depression. And when I hear depression, that usually always indicates an anger that a person feels that they don't feel justified in expressing and a powerlessness to do anything about a situation. You know, I hope you don't mind my getting that invasive, Mike. Is that kind
of... No, not at all. You know, I think a lot of it applies. Some of it does not. Because, you know, I have a lot of stress in my everyday life with work, and that probably also has a big, you know, to do with, you know, having enough time with her.
You know, but stress feels different when you're getting laid. Excuse me.
Agreed.
Mike, nice to talk to you.
Thank you, Armand. Right.
212-957-2729.
I have a question regarding this whole medicated versus stimulated personality type. So what about an individual who uses a lot of drugs or alcohol in their lives? Are they a medicated person who's looking for stimulation, or are they a stimulated person looking for medication?
Okay, so we talked about there being a quotient.
Right.
Right, and I think anxiety is probably a lot worse than depression in life. Feeling anxiety is brutal. People who feel a lot of anxiety are generally always trying to quell it through self-medication.
Right.
So I would say that's a stimulated type who's looking...
To medicate.
And that's why they find relationships with people who are medicated. Do we got enough time, Julian, to take another call? Yeah. Okay, let's take a call. Hi, this is Armand DeMille. You're on the air.
Hi, Armand. My name is Joy.
Hello, Joy.
I recently left my husband about a year ago. I have had some health difficulties, and was back and forth in the hospital, and as far as I was concerned, he was the best person on earth. And then I noticed how he wouldn't come visit me. He gave my son his, you know, my son took up what he should have been doing for me. And so when I got out, you know, I was hearing hurtful things, like he wishes I had died. He actually had told my son to come out and see your mother. This is going to be the last time you see her alive before he took me to the hospital last time. When I came out of the coma, my hair was all matted. He had given away my jewelry, my clothes, stole my car. I haven't spoke to him since I left. And he got physically violent with me before I left. Mm. And it was the first and the last time ever in almost 30 years of a relationship. And I still have no closure because he's trying to say, I imagined everything.
Well, Joy, let me ask you something because we only have a moment, but maybe we'll just keep you on air. You know what I'm going to do? Instead of cutting you short the way I would normally do and say we have to go because we're going to take a break, if you would stand by with us, we're going to take a break. We're going to play some music. In fact, let me choose a music that's directed to your heart.
Thank you, Armand.
Okay, let me choose something. Here's what I want to do for you. And we're going to be back with you, my friends, in just a couple of moments. A little music for Joy. And then when we come back, we'll discuss further. Thank you. That's Musetta's Waltz from La Boheme with Bridget Nielsen, and it's such a funny story. Because as beautiful as that music is, which I think it's one of the most exquisite arias ever written, it talks about a woman who's talking about her beauty. And she's talking about what happens when she walks out the street. She's a stimulant, like we were talking about. And she stimulates all the men, she says. And she says that as she walks down, the men always respond to her in some kind of way. And the men are kind of sitting back there very quiet until Musetta comes up. When Musetta is their stimulation, it's their life, it's what they need. How often do we think of ourselves that way? How often do we think of ourselves as providing to another person what they need? Like, let's say you're a solid kind of medicated type of person, a person who's calm and easy and relaxed. And you meet somebody who's very stimulated. And you think, how wonderful, I'll bring peace into their life. And you think you're giving them a great gift. Right? But what if you ran into somebody who was also equally medicated? And you say, oh, how nice, I'm going to bring them peace. Well, it's going to lead you to kind of death. It's not what they want. They want the guy who's going to excite them. That's why, you know, a lot of people keep their relationships with their parents so stimulated. You almost wonder, why do you and your mother hate each other so much? Question. Because your mother's doing you a service by giving you something to hate to keep you awake.
So do you think that the sort of medicated types that... Like you said, you look at a stimulated sort of person and say, let me calm this person or soothe this person. Are the medicated types the sort of people who are often looking to fix or heal their partners?
You know
the type I'm talking
about? I think
about?
Both types do that. I think the stimulated type does that also. They believe, let me infuse some energy.
Right.
Let's wake this old guy up.
Right.
Right? Let's make this person feel stimulated again. So I think both people do it. They're always trying to fix each other. But what they're trying to do is reduce the other person's amount of, percentage of energy that they have. You're trying to take it away. And the trouble is you never really want to do it. If you find somebody who's a stimulated, active person, you really don't want to reduce them to being calm. Because the minute they become calm, you go looking for somebody else who's stimulated. It doesn't work, even though we think it does. Our telephone number here is 212-957-2729. We have Joy still on the line with us. Joy, how is my music?
Oh, it was beautiful. Yes, I enjoyed it.
Enjoy. That's a good word for joy. So, Joy, you have gotten the worst end of the stick. You know, I mean, it couldn't get worse. You get sick. You're buried for a while. You can't even tell what's going on. You come out of it and you find out you've been betrayed everywhere.
Yeah.
All right? Could you talk a little louder because I could barely... You're there.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That's
basically
what happened. You know?
Okay. Now, since then, what do you do to recover? How do you take care of yourself?
I take care of myself by, I'm in a place that's comfortable. I mean, it's smaller than my kitchen was in my house, but it's comfortable. I can do what I do because I make things. I can do what I do without someone all of a sudden wanting me to go cook for them or some other menial thing. That's the only thing he ever wanted me for.
Okay, so this is the good news is now you're your own boss.
Yes.
And you can do what you want to do for yourself. And
yes.
What are you doing for yourself that feels really good? Like, I want to know what you're going to do at the holidays with yourself.
Thanksgiving I spend by myself, and I really enjoyed it because the last few Thanksgivings I've ended up in the hospital before, on, or right after Thanksgiving. So it was nice to be healthy and by myself. Christmas, I don't know. I really don't know, but...
Okay, now listen, here's one thing, Joy. Whatever you do, do not fear Christmas.
No.
Because it kind of lays there in the background for so many people. It is such a good day to give to yourself. It is such a good day. I can tell you that most of the people I know who are alone at Christmas do fine.
Yeah. I really am not worried about it. Financially, I can't do much. You know, he has me in a position where I still have to pay the insurance on the house, and he's living there, but I have to pay the insurance plus, you know, my rent, where I'm at. But all in all, I like being by myself. I enjoy myself. I was invisible to him, but I see now I'm not invisible to other people.
And you're not invisible to yourself either.
No.
And I can hear that there are a couple of suitors who will come around and say, hey, how about me? You got a couple of people interested in you as well?
Yeah, but I'm not I'm not ready to do that until I finish up the relationship I'm in.
Well, wait till next year.
Yeah.
Gives you 2 weeks.
Yeah, but still, I just still feel hurt, and I just can't express myself to him. I could never express myself to him, and it got to the point where he even, I had a psychiatrist, and he would call the psychiatrist, you know, trying to talk him into, oh, she's out of her mind.
Oh, I have no question that he's a dick.
Excuse me?
I have no question that he's like that.
Yeah, but, you know, the psychiatrist let me go because he was afraid that he would get trouble because of him, you know. He can't, if you can admit, I mean, I basically caught him having sex with somebody in my house, and he could not admit it.
My gosh. Listen, thank you. Mm-hmm. Joy, whatever we could bring to you, however you could be part of the family, you've had the tough side of it. You know, let's step on from here.
Yeah. But
thank you for calling in. Thanks for waiting by.
Thank you, Armand.
All right. Bye-bye. 212-957-2729. So it's so hard to look at the balance of energy that you might have and to not just hold the other person responsible for robbing you. It's so hard because it's like you look at it and you say, she did this, he did that, I did that. It's hard to see that there was some bigger force at play. And very often we give ourselves away. And although there may be fault, it's not all one way. It's easy to learn from. It's great if you could learn from what you do. It's so beautiful that Joy has a chance to find in some way some new life for herself. It's a great thing.
Yeah, I mean, energetically, I think we also go through phases in life where we can be either or. So, I mean, there have been times in my life where I've been more stimulated, and I think I'm in a moment or a period of my life where I'm more of like the medicated type of person, where my energy is much calmer and sort of smoother than it was in the past, where in the past I was much more sort of active and vivid of a person, and now mm-hmm. I've sort of settled into a routine.
What about you, Julian? Do you feel that you've moved into a calmer routine or a more active routine?
I feel like it's becoming calmer, and I don't want it to be, but I've been traveling for the last couple months back and forth, and that's been really stimulating. So I come back to the city, and I kind of like calm down from that, and I don't know if I want to be there. So I guess I'm kind of looking for a stimulating side to bring me out of it.
So there's a piece of you that you feel like kind of slides away.
Yeah, because normally I'm very, I think, stimulated kind of person, you know, constantly mm-hmm. going to the next thing. And after the stimulation that's happened the last couple of months, it's...
Well, you know, there's a funny thing that happens when you slide into normalcy. Sanity is a very funny place because it's so unfamiliar. Most of us have never seen it in our families. You know, and we kind of run into it, and as it begins to slide on, for most people, it feels like the beginning of a depression. It feels like, oh, what's happening? I don't care anymore. I don't care so much about that. I don't care about going out. Like, Joy, I don't want to be starting a relationship. I don't want to be, you know. It could be just the slide into sanity that is such a beautiful thing. You know, you've paid enough dues.
And such a departure from what so many of us are used to.
And seen in our families and seen around us, seen in relationships. 212-957-2729. Seema. Hi, Seema. This is Armand DeMille.
Hi. How are you, Armand?
Good.
Good. I am doing so much better than I was months ago. And now I'm feeling very stimulated. I'm feeling happy. I'm feeling joy. My concern is that I don't know what to do with this sexual feeling that I'm feeling because I'm taking a holistic approach to my repair, I guess I'll call it, and I'm not at a place where I need to act on this, and I'm aware of that.
So could you describe when you talk about a sexual feeling? What do you mean?
Oh, I'm feeling alive. I'm feeling, you know, because I had been in a relationship for 10, 12 years, and the last 3 years was asexual.
It was asexual, huh? And so now you're feeling yourself turned on in ways that you just haven't been used to, because you broke up this relationship and your body is free to feel what it wants to feel.
Yes, yes. And I'm just saying to myself, okay, what do we do with this? I mean, you know, I'm, of course, staying active and, you know, and I'm interacting with people. I belong to different groups now. And so I'm using the energy, but there's just that organic feeling of wanting to just have sex with someone.
Yeah, well, Seema, what about that? What about just the fact that you want to have sex with someone and that you have this organic feeling? What prevents that from happening?
Well, I don't want to. I feel like I'm healing, and so it's not I don't feel it's a good time for me to get involved with someone on that level.
Yeah, so okay, that's an involvement. I understand. There's no alternative, okay? There are many alternatives. One is to not get as deeply involved, but to just say to someone, you know, this is what I'm looking for, like so many people will say. I'm looking for that kind of an exchange.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's also sex with yourself, which is another form of exchange, which keeps
definitely using and have been using. And it's just so limited. I mean, it's not like someone touching you, you know?
Okay, because what you're looking for is a depth of contact. You're looking for a piece of you that just wants to be able to make some kind of contact a little more intense, a little more organic, a little more intensity. Because you can't get there with yourself. You know, you want to get there with another person, and you're burning for it. You're yearning for it.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. So what does one do?
I think one does exactly what you're doing, which is waiting for the moment to appear. Not repressing it, not shutting it down, but waiting for the moment to appear, and it will.
Okay. You know? And I guess just trusting that I'll be okay in it, because I'm not trying to give anyone any indication that I'm ready for something long lasting or anything like that. I'm really not. It's just, you know, it's just this biological feeling, this urge that I'm having. I'm not trying to use anybody or anything like that.
You know, it's an interesting thing, because I heard a group of women the other day, someone was talking to me about a woman's group that she was running where this subject came up in the group of women. And that when it came up in a group of women, something happened. It's a little like it's a little like teepee talk. It's like when a bunch of women gather together in a room and they kind of share their pheromones and they talk about stuff like this, it's magical. It kind of in itself brings a certain safety and release to it.
Okay.
So you might want, now I know of, you might want to be in touch with that. If you want to, you could write to me and I'll tell you where I know that that kind of group exists. That would be a very good, something you might be very interested in.
Yes,
more of a support
group. I will.
Huh? Okay, be in touch with me. Just send me an email.
I will. Thank you so much.
Sure.
That's very helpful. Have a great one, Armand.
You too. 212. 212-957-2729. So sex is, I guess, such an interesting thing because of the level of stimulation that it brings with it. And it brings with it at different ages. You know, when you think about sex when you're 10 years old and 12 years old and 14 years old, and you feel what stimulation is like then, if you're a young boy, you know, most young boys are running into the bathroom every 2 hours, you know, trying to find, sex becomes a kind of a release for their anxiety. And it's no longer about sex. It's about energy. It's like, I got to get rid of the energy. And most people who compulsively masturbate are just really saying, let me get rid of the energy. Let me balance it.
So they're medicating.
They're
not stimulating.
That's
at that
right.
point.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. And it becomes that form of trying to bring yourself to a place where you feel safe.
But couldn't sex with another person also be a form of medicating?
Absolutely. There are so many people I know, there are men I know who say it's like, or women I know who say it's like having sex with myself with another person. you know, just for that same reason. We have time for one more caller, I think. Ann, this is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, good afternoon, Armand. My name is Ann. I'm in Queens. You know, something dawned on me listening to this conversation. I've had 6 back surgeries, and I'm in pain all the time. And I more or less just got to the feeling that no one would want to really be interested in me because I'm in just so much pain and, you know, feeling miserable. But listening to the conversation today, it made me think that, gee, it doesn't matter if the person really likes you and really care about you. It wouldn't matter it matters. They're concerned about the pain. But because they want to be with you, they take you and the pain and everything else.
You know, it's such a true thing that you're saying, Anne, because it's not only that, but it becomes attractive.
Yes.
Your pain becomes attractive to someone else.
Uh-huh.
See, they could look at you and they could say, oh, I could be of help to this person.
Right.
And some people want to feel so significant. They want to feel meaningful.
Mm-hmm.
That they do that, you know. So this is a...
Well, it was a good thought for me because I never felt like that. I mean, I haven't been in a relationship in years and years and years and years because of that feeling. But I said, wow, I have one friend who keeps bugging me for about 20, 30 years. I should have let him lay hands on. I wouldn't be in pain. And we just laugh and whatnot. But it just...
Is there anybody in your life now who would do that with you?
What, lay his hands on me?
Yes.
Oh, he would, gladly.
Okay, and what would stop you?
Well, he's got a lot of medical problems, too. And I was saying this seemed like it would just be a big burden for the two of us with medical problems.
Well, let me ask you this. Have you gotten a massage recently?
Oh, Lord, no, they're good.
And you say, oh, Lord, no, you haven't gotten it.
Uh-huh.
Why would you not get a massage?
Well, I just haven't really investigated any place to go to get a
massage.
Isn't
it a funny thing if you think about this? Here's a person, you, Anne, who I know from the bottom of my heart, I know that this being touched and being touched in a loving, strong way would make you feel 100 times better than you feel automatically.
Uh-huh.
Now, I know that.
Uh-huh.
And yet, at the same time, I know that you're not giving yourself that.
Uh-huh.
So one wonders, how does that disconnect happen? How does it happen that you don't allow yourself that and that it takes me to bring up the issue to remind you? You know, we had a person who called here before. Her name was Seema. There's a woman named Nisima, N-I-S-S-E-M-A, who I know who does this. She does just, especially with people who have had surgeries, she does laying on of hands and massage.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fabulous, the work she does. It's so psychologically powerful.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
So this is a treat you have to give yourself.
Yes, it just dawned on me today, listening to the conversations, that something has to change.
Yeah. Well, you mean you have to change something.
Yes, I have to change.
And you know, it's not a bad thing that you have to change. It's just you have to give yourself another present.
Yes.
You know, this is coming around holiday season, and it's time for you to give yourself the next present. And the next present is giving yourself somebody else's hands to soothe you.
Oh, boy, he love hear you saying that.
Well, you just,
a friend of mine.
You just tell him I called in. This is Armand DeMille with you. Thank you, Anne. Thank
okay.
you, Seema, Joy, Mike, Allen. I want to thank you all for calling in today. Ben, Julian, thank you for your work. We will not be with you tomorrow because Gary Null is going to be doing a full day special about what's happening in the police state. And so that's tomorrow. You can tune in for that. It should be interesting. And we will be back with you a week from today, on Tuesday, to bring you our special holiday. The eve of Christmas Eve, and then we'll also be here Christmas Eve.
Can't wait.
Julian, thanks for being with us. We'll be back with you then, my friends. This is Armand DeMille. You can send me an email, armand@thepositivemind.com. Back in touch with you soon. Bye-bye.